traditionally, this sort of episode is released on 4/13 rather than the week after, but I've been taking the time around 4/13 to sort of meditate on the Homestuck fandom, how it was 5 years ago versus how it seems to be going today, and my place within it. It's been 5 years since we saw what I consider to be some of the best and the worst of the Homestuck fandom. The moralizing and self-policing we've seen on the rise in all fandom spaces this past decade or more. It's also been 5 years since the Homestuck epilogues dropped, the beginning of Beyond Canon that seemed to kick off said meteoric rise of fandom drama, and about 4 years since one might describe as a fandom exodus, and the fandom beginning to settle down because of it. It's been over 5 years since I started my podcast, as we celebrated this past December, and began actively engaging with the fandom. It's been a little over 4 years since I crashed and burned, and a little under since my healing process began in earnest, I guess. I'm still in said healing process. I'm not sure when I won't be. Just as the fandom, I think, is still healing. But I'm afraid of the fandom forgetting that. I'm afraid that the fandom has slapped on a band-aid over the problem and proceeded to forget about it, ignore it. I'm afraid the wound has been left to fester and we can't have another true resurgence until we've recognized it for what it is and started treating it. June Egbert is the obvious elephant in the room in this discussion for those in the know, though she was far from the only issue. For those not in the know, I will give a quote-unquote brief overview of the events with some conjecture of my own. Unfortunately, very little about how things went down is provable, as dozens of Twitter accounts were wiped or taken down, and only a few archives have been captured on the Wayback Machine or anywhere else. So take what I say with equal measures of trust and salt, especially due to my attempt at brevity. June Egbert is trans woman John. This headcanon emerged as a response to the reveal of trans mask Roxy in the epilogues, as there was a feeling of a extremely popular trans woman headcanon being explicitly spat on. I also like trans woman Roxy. I prefer trans woman Roxy over trans mask Roxy. And I imagine I would feel just as terribly if trans femme Dave had been made canon instead. I say canon, but the canonicity of everything after the core comic has always been in the solidly not camp, despite the argument still going on to this day. Hussey themselves described Beyond Canon as an off-ramp, entirely optional for existing fans of the comic. Despite the, okay, we'll latch onto a new trans woman headcanon, seeming fun in theory, the online queer community was and is currently embroiled in radical feminism ideology. But make it trans-friendly. One of the most obvious tenets being men bad oppressor, women good oppressed. This is me dumbing this down considerably, but I'm doing my best to keep this brief and not give a whole lecture on radical feminism and how it intersects with the queer community. Because of that, in these sorts of communities, being a lesbian was seen as being better than being attracted to men. Being a woman was seen as being better than being a man. This included trans men, of course, who some even view as being worse than cis men because of choosing to be men. As such, anyone who preferred male John or even especially trans male John were mocked, if not hated. Surely, the only reason you would prefer the boy version was because you were a transmisogynist or held transmisogynistic views. Months before Hussey quote-unquote canonized June, people were being harassed for creating content about John. And I knew many artists who stopped drawing him or who stopped selling merch of him for fear of being boycotted and ostracized and losing an important source of income. I even knew a trans man who straight up changed his name from John because, you know, he named himself after the character and it just didn't feel like a safe place anymore. I knew trans masks feeling like they no longer had a place in the fandom, who felt that it was unsafe for them, and some of them ended up leaving before things got worse, or they were just straight up harassed out. But this didn't stop with June, and it didn't really begin with June either. Trans lesbian Vriska, even before her pest request route that, again, quote-unquote, confirmed her being trans femme, was the only allowed version to the point you couldn't like Gamzee, since Tavros Sprite was a creation of transmisogyny, and people who liked Tavros were mocked because Tavros was a chaser for being attracted to Vriska. Anyone who wanted by Vriska were harassed, and anyone who opposed the harassment were chastised for telling lesbians they're not allowed to headcanon characters as lesbians. Terezi was a lesbian. June was a lesbian. Dirk was an incel misogynistic transphobe, primarily due to the epilogues, and any trans mask who liked him or headcanoned him as trans mask made sense because, of course, the majority of trans masks are misogynistic transphobes too. On and on and on. Your headcanons, your interpretations, your favorite characters, your ships, these were all reflections of your morals, your activism. They showcased your bigotry and priorities, and any effort to dispute that was just proof of how terrible you actually were, especially if there was a perceived oppression dynamic as viewed through the RadFem lens. Like if you're a trans man saying anything to a trans woman, or a gay man saying anything to a lesbian. Never mind when small-time black queer fans were dogpiled by primarily white queer fans with bigger followings. Never mind when big-name fans expressed anti-Semitic viewpoints and tried to flip the tables anytime it was pointed out. And these were the big-name fans leading the harassment. Not only them, but WhatPumpkin staff and contractors. Though, honestly, the Venn diagram between big-name fans and WhatPumpkin staff and contractors was practically a circle. But do you know the feeling of an official creator of a piece of media you love targeting you, yes, you specifically, for harassment, making fun of you, quote retweeting you to mock, adding on to a dogpile, getting you kicked from friend groups and fan projects and communities? Dozens of people active on Homestuck Twitter in 2019 and early 2020 do. Obviously myself included. This is where I put my normal disclaimer that WhatPumpkin staff and BNFs were harassed in turn. Partially because you cannot exist on the internet, much less with any sort of platform, much less as a creator, without experiencing harassment. However, being queer or a person of color magnifies that. At least one person had a thread on Kiwi Farms, an infamously queerphobic forum that tends to collect receipts on prominent queer people, particularly but not exclusively trans women. Please note, any information you see that is sourced from Kiwi Farms should be thrown out of your mind. If it's true, you'll find a source somewhere else. Disclaimer aside, it's frustrating that people point to the harassment they received as an excuse for the harassment they enacted. Some claiming it was natural to lash out, and aren't we really just tone policing? Indulging in respectability politics? Using the white corporate idea of professionalism against creators of color, acting as useful idiots for malicious bigots? I can't say none of those points have any merit, but the harassment enacted or endorsed by a lot of WhatPumpkin staff and BNFs went well above and beyond any reasonable reaction to their own harassment. And the majority of said harassment was instigated by said staff and BNFs, rather than the other way around. But what am I getting at with all of this? Am I dredging up dirt for the sake of it? Am I self-indulgently wallowing in past misdeeds? Am I utilizing this podcast for my own personal therapeutic goals? Okay, well, you may have a point with the last one, but that's just this whole podcast, really, in one way or another. I, like many others, have been hurt by the Homestuck fandom and by official creators. I took years off from this podcast and out of the mainstream fandom to grapple with this hurt. It has caused me to hurt others and has given an easy target for other people to continue to hurt me, and sometimes I worry engaging with this fandom is just pressing on a bruise. More and more as I try to rebalance and regain a sense of normalcy. There are whole swaths of the fandom I've been neglecting, and all I can do is sit here and explain again and again and again why I'm doing that and how much I wish I wasn't. And the question I keep coming back to, the question my therapists and my friends both in and out of the fandom have asked, what are you going to do about it? I am at an impasse, listeners. I have been straddling this fence for over a year, one foot in the fandom and another in my carefully curated safe spaces. This is not sustainable. So here I am, peeking out from my corner to look at the current state of the fandom. How has it changed in 5 years? Has it grown? Has it forgotten? Is it better? Have I been left behind? Hiveswap Friendsim 2 is so successful it's on Steam. Same with the Genesis Project. The Crow Strider AU took the Tumblr fandom at the very least by storm. Polyswap and Drone Season maintain their years-long tradition of community building via fic and art swaps. The Unofficial Homestuck Collection has preserved the webcomic in its purest form and continues to improve with accessibility settings, mods, and expanding to browser instead of only a downloaded application. Stuck at Home Con hasn't missed a year since it began in 2019, and even showcases glimpses of official content yet to be released. I've received responses on my discussions of 5 years ago of people absolutely horrified by how things were. I have watched the queer community rally against the radical feminist ideology invading it. I have seen people post John and only John, or John and June side by side with no constant threat of harassment. I've heard of some of the harassers getting ostracized rather than tolerated. James Roach even came out with a sort of apology on Reddit saying, "However, I do recognize the distrust that built up in that era, though. And for my part in that, I am sorry." I have no idea what that voice was that it just gave James Roach. That's not how he sounds, but I guess that's my quote voice. Of course, problems still remain. Harassment over June has not ended. I will stumble across people defending some of the worst perpetrators of harassment. Sometimes a post will float around still calling WhatPumpkin staff the sole victims, never the instigators. And that's not even getting into discourse over taboo content, which I've done my best to avoid in this particular discussion. From my perspective, and after talking with friends, it seems like a lot of this change for the better began after the before-mentioned mass exodus of fans, instigators and bystanders and victims alike. The fans who stuck around were the ones able to shape the direction the fandom took overall. And thankfully, it's primarily gone in a positive direction. I want to be part of that again. I want to help shape the fandom into a more welcoming, positive space as I did before. I want to make sure we don't backslide into where we were before as much as I can. I'm doing it in baby steps with my podcast and my variety of Homestuck Tumblr accounts, but I feel I'm going to stagnate if I don't reach out to do more. This is going to require me stepping out of my comfort zone in some major ways. I'm fairly obviously still not over what happened, but I've avoided things for too long, and I'm tired of feeling like I'm missing out on being able to participate in the wider fandom for reasons that are understandable, but entirely my own doing at this point. I don't want to feel left behind when I could be part of something, when I could better form a community with all of you, dear listeners, and help us all be part of something. What does that mean? I am still figuring that out. It doesn't mean I can shut off the hurt I still feel, and it certainly doesn't mean I'll stop bringing awareness about how things used to be. Forgetting the past only encourages us to repeat it. Not to mention, understanding the fandom culture in which Homestuck was created is important for understanding Homestuck as a whole, the core comic, the games, and beyond canon included. For the core comic, I highly recommend listening to the podcast Homestuck Made This World. I've learned a lot since listening, and it's helped me gain new perspective on the comic, Hussey, and the fandom. I wish I knew of people doing a similar thing for everything after, but perhaps it's too fresh and honestly ongoing for something like that to exist without major controversy yet. Thank you for getting this far in an episode that ended up being just a little more self-indulgent than I initially intended. I hope you stick with me in my journey to continue making this a better fandom and avoid the mistakes of the past. I hope you do your part in your own communities, Homestuck adjacent or otherwise. I hope we all grow to be more welcoming of newcomers, accepting of different opinions and interpretations, and encouraging of growth and creation in those around us. Thank you for listening, and happy 420 Blaze It.
Thank you to Dami for composing the theme song and editing the episode. You can find more of her work at soundcloud.com/dominothief. Shout out to our fakest fan tier supporters, Danny the Spoon Lord and Tezrak. You can become a supporter and receive early episodes and bonus content for as little as $1 a month over at ko-fi.com/jacksyaks, or simply give a one-time tip. For information on and links to my other projects, head over to jacksyaks.com. Thanks again for listening.